I feel very ashamed to be sitting here and speaking on the glories of Ram, because Lord Ramachandra appeared in this world to set an example for an ideal human being. He is called as a Maryada Purushottam. Most unqualified as I am, still on the order of my superiors, try to say something from Ramayana. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni says, the safest boat for those who are born in this age of Kali Yuga is two things, he says. The chanting of the holy names of the Lord and hearing His transcendental pastimes. So the Lord, when He appears in this world, He performs Naimittika Leela. Those who hear these pastimes, they can enter into Nitya Leela, the spiritual world, where He eternally performs His pastimes non-stop in the spiritual world. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, without having to go through all the different philosophies by going to different organizations, we can simply read Prabhupada's books and we can learn about every different sampradaya and different paths from Prabhupada's purports. Like there is Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga and all those different yogas. Similarly, there is worship of Ram, there is worship of Vishnu, there is worship of Krishna. Oftentimes people in India, this is one very serious question which many people ask. Who is original? Is Krishna original or Ram or Vishnu? This question always comes. Like one student was asking me, Krishna is junior to Ram. Why you people worship only Krishna? Why not worship Ram? So then I went through Prabhupada's purports. So three references I got from Prabhupada's Bhagavatam. One is the Prithu Maharaja section, where it is said Prithu performed all his severe austerities for the pleasure of Krishna. There is a Sanskrit verse which says that. Krishnam, the word Krishna is used there. And in that purport, Prabhupada says, foolish people think that Krishna appeared recently and Ram appeared very old. But the worship of Krishna was there even in Satya Yuga, Prabhupada says. Because Ram or Krishna or Vishnu, they all are eternal personalities. They are not like the mortals of this world. When we were born, we never came with a name. After 10-20 days, they give a name to a child. Isn't it? As soon as we are born, we don't have any name. But because Lord is eternal, His name is also eternal. That is why it is said, Purna Shuddho, Nitya Mukto, Abhinnatvam, Nama Namino. Two things about the holy name. One is, the holy name is eternal because Lord is eternal. And the holy name is always liberated because Lord is always liberated in the spiritual world. So, Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu, they all exist eternally. And they have their own devotees with whom they exchange loving reciprocation. And one need not get very confused about this. Why? You know, we can learn mathematics. Two mangoes plus three mangoes equal to five mangoes. Or two apples plus three apples equal to five apples. Mathematics is same. Only the juices are different. Same manner, the Bhagavan, Bhakta and Bhakti, these three are eternal in all the sampradayas. Even those who worship Ram, or those who worship Krishna, those who worship Vishnu, they all agree with this. Those who are devotees, those who are Vaishnavas. So, certainly, there is the difference in the mood in which Lord Rama is worshipped, or Lord Krishna is worshipped. But, those who are broad-minded Vaishnavas, they can understand and appreciate. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will see, in one of his pastimes, when he was going to South India, on his forward journey, he saw a Rama Bhakta. On his return journey, that fellow had become changed into a Krishna Bhakta. He was chanting Hare Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated him. Oh, very nice that you have started chanting Krishna's names. Why you gave up Ram's name and you are chanting Krishna's names? He said, my dear Lord, ever since I saw you, I got your darshan. I don't know how, but I have developed a great attraction for Krishna. Now I have started chanting Krishna's names. Mahaprabhu congratulated him and proceeded further. On the other hand, you know, Anupam, brother of Rupa Sanatan, the Mahaprabhu told him, why don't you chant Krishna's names? And very faithfully, Anupam tried to chant Krishna's names. And next day he came, weeping bitterly, telling the Lord, my dear Lord, I just couldn't chant this Krishna's names at all. Whole night I was weeping that I couldn't follow your instruction. Because how can I give up my Lord Raghunath, who is the Lord of my heart, whom I have been worshipping for so long? I am attached to him. And then what did Lord Chaitanya say? Glorious is the Lord who never gives up his devotee. And glorious is the devotee who never gives up his Lord. And then he told to him to continue worshipping Ram. Same way, Murari Gupta also was a great devotee of Lord Rama. And they are also accepted as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So one has an eternal relationship with Lord Sri Krishna or with Ram or Vishnu. And one will revive that type of relationship by practicing the path of devotional service. Ramayana is oceanic literature. So I am only going to take some small sections of Ramayana, which I recently read and share with you. And to be honest, I have not read Ramayana very elaborately, the Valmiki Ramayana. But I have heard untold stories from Ramayana by Atma Tattva Prabhu. I also read Bhaktivika Swami's Ramayana also. And when I read those literatures, read those books, I could understand there are so many valuable lessons for our life that we could learn from this Ramayana and Mahabharata and Bhagavatam. So, whatever time permits, within that I will speak a few words. You see, in this world, if somebody has a daughter, they want a son. Or somebody has a son, they want a daughter. Or if somebody has no children, they are hankering to have some children. Or somebody has children, they want to get rid of them, send them to some school, so that they can be peaceful. That is the nature of this world. So Romapad Maharaj, he had many sons, but he had no daughters. So he was lamenting, I don't have a daughter. And Dasharath Maharaj, through Kaushalya, he had a daughter, but he had no sons. So here was Romapad Swami weeping for daughter, and Dasharath was weeping for a son. Of course, later on, Romapad Maharaja asked Dasharath, can you give your daughter in death? And he accepted. So Lord Rama had a sister, Kaushalya, so she was given to Romapad Maharaj. Later, as you might have heard from Prabhu, by the performance of Yajna by Rishishranga, those sons were born, Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, Shatrughna. Ram and Lakshman were very intimate. Bharat and Shatrughna were also very intimate. They were so intimate that if Bharat would go to some faraway place, last minute he would call Shatrughna, come, just come with me. He would just take him with him. They were like one soul in two bodies. They were very close to each other. So, as these children grew up, they were sent to the Gurukula. So, Vasishtha was the guru who accepted them in the Gurukul. So, Dasharath, when he took them to the Gurukul, he handed over the children to him. And then he sat in a seat there. And the sage Vasishtha told him, now you are the father of these children. Now you have given your children, now you can go back. You should not be sitting here. If a father has handed over the child to Guru, then father should not even turn back till his education is over. You kindly go back, he said. That is why it is said Brahmachari Gurukule Vasan. Gurukule Vasan means the children were handed over to the Guru in order to be trained in the Vedic culture. Whether they be son of a king or they are son of a farmer, there would be no difference in the treatment. They were treated the same. That's why the parents were not supposed to be watching what type of treatment children are getting, unlike the modern times. The modern times, child goes to school and evening is back at home, and the child says something about the teacher, the parents will go to the school to fight with the teacher. So Vasishtha said, now you may proceed back. But Dasharatha said, I just want to see how you are teaching my children. Vasishtha said, I am not going to begin education unless you go back. Then Dasharatha proceeded back. Then Vasishtha closed the doors of the ashrama. He made all the four children sit. And then with folded palms, he circumambulated them three times and he offered obeisances. And then Vasishtha spoke up. He said, my dear lords, every time you incarnate in this world, your devotees, you make them as sages and saints, and you become their disciples. And then you learn from them. Why are you putting me in such a position? I feel ashamed to become your teacher. In fact, you are the father of all religious principles. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. And you are putting me in awkward position to teach you. And the reply Lord Ram gave us, nothing but one smile, that's all. So, we understand that when Lord appears in this world, he behaves like a human being externally sometimes. Sometimes he shows his power, who he is. Again he shows his activity like a human being. The reason is, when Lord behaves like a human being, it is more easy for his devotees to become more intimate with him. It's called as Jnanashunya Bhakti, we call it. Which means, if you know the greatness of Lord, it is difficult for one to behave with him intimately. Just like Devaki and Vasudeva, as soon as they saw Krishna, they offered obeisances. But Prabhupada says, Yashoda never offered obeisances to Krishna. Except that one time, when Krishna opened his mouth and showed the Brahmanda within his mouth. So Lord doesn't like to see that. That's why he shows his behavior like an ordinary human behavior. So they studied in Gurukula, but for some festival, Vishwamitra had brought, Vasishtha had brought the children to the palace. Rarely do we hear the childhood pastimes of Ram. We have heard a lot of childhood pastimes of Krishna. Krishna stealing butter and everything. Ram also has some pastimes. When Ram and Lakshman, when they returned back, once they saw this hunchbacked woman. She was carrying a pot on her shoulder. She was carrying a pitcher. And she was walking. She was wearing a very big nose ring. So Ram said, now using my archery, just see, I will make this nose ring very small. So he sent an arrow. It went and made the nose ring so small, she felt some suffocation. She started getting suffocated. And Lakshman said, oh, she's screaming. Now I will make the nose ring big again. Again he sent another arrow. And he made the nose ring big. And then she wondered, hey, what are the children doing with me? They said, we are sending an arrow which releases some chemical which makes the nose ring small and big. We just wanted to test our mantra power, they said. But she said, I don't think you really did something. You are all small kids, what can you do? She asked. So Ram and Lakshman wanted to show again. So again they sent another arrow which took her nose ring up in the sky. And when she screamed that my gold nose ring is gone, flying away. Where is it gone? So because all the others were drawing that, their attention was drawn, again Lakshman sent another arrow to put it back on her nose. So Vasishtha was very surprised. I never taught these children anything till now. Archery class has not even begun. But they have started taking the bow and arrow. So, as I was telling you, the Lord shows sometimes some superhuman activities like this. Occasionally, just for the pleasure of his devotees. As Ram and Lakshman grew up, one day, I heard Vasugosh Prabhu also said something about Vishwamitra coming and taking Ram and Lakshman to the forest. That's a very beautiful pastime. Why Lord performs this kind of pastimes? Because he wants to inspire the devotees and increase the love that they feel for him in their hearts. Because in the eternal spiritual world, there is no other activity other than giving and accepting love. That's the only work we have to do. There is no other work. Eternally there are pastimes going on. So, when Lord comes here, sometimes he subjects his devotees to the feelings of separation which intensify their love for him. So, at one time, Vishwamitra came to the court of Dasharatha. And any king in those days, whenever they would see great saints and sages coming to the court, they would feel very jubilant. Like a peacock opening the feathers when the peacock sees a beautiful rain cloud. So Dasharatha was naturally very happy when he saw Vishwamitra. So many examples are given in Ramayana. It is said he felt as if somebody placed nectar in your hands. As if a childless person got a child. As if somebody who lost a purse, he got it back or something. Like a lost treasure, he got it back. Vishwamitra felt very happy. As if there was some festival occasion at home. And then Vishwamitra told him, "My dear king, how is your spiritual progress?" That's the first thing he began, as any sage would do. But then subsequently, Dasharatha came to know that he has come on a specific mission. Vishwamitra has come on a mission. He asked Vishwamitra, "Tell me whatever you want, I'll give you." That's the first vachan he gave him. And then Vishwamitra told him that I have two demons always troubling my yajna, sacrifices. Maricha and Subahu. In some Ramayanas, the name is used Maricha and Dushana. Some people say this Dushana and Subahu are same. So this Dushana means what? The word Dur itself means bad word. Dushana means a person with bad mentality. So these two Rakshasas, I can't even say when I am performing the yajnic oblations, they are coming and passing urine and stool. He said they are ruining the whole sacrifice. In fact, every day they come for lunch and the lunch box is only the rishis and munis. Whoever is in the scene, they pick them up and eat them. So Vishwamitra said, "I have come here to beg you help. Please send your two sons, Ram and Lakshman, with me to the forest. And then I want them to kill these demons." When Dasharatha heard it, simply hearing it, he fainted on his asana. He immediately fell unconscious on the spot. And Vishwamitra very patiently waited. And after some time, Dasharatha got up, he opened his eyes. Then he looked at Vishwamitra and he remembered that he is asking for my two sons. Thinking of the prospect of losing Ram, again he fell on the ground. And he again fell unconscious. And after an hour, he got up. He said, "My dear sage, your name is Vishwamitra. You are supposed to be the friend of the whole world. But now you don't seem to be acting like a friend. You are asking for my life itself. You are asking for Ram and Lakshman. Don't you know, Ram is not even fully trained in the martial arts. Ram has never gone to any battlefield at all. He's a young lad. He's such a young boy." And he said, "Instead of Rama, can I come with you? I will fight out those demons." And he looked at Vishwamitra's eyes and Vishwamitra didn't seem to be convinced. Then he said, "Okay, if Ram is needed with you, then let Ram come, but I will also come. So that I'll make sure that my young boy, Ram, is not killed by the demons. I'm very worried." And then he said, "Please tell me, who are those demons? Are they very formidable demons? Tell me their names. What is their prowess? Please tell me." And he said, Vishwamitra said, "These are agents sent by Ravana." This Maricha and Dushana, they are Ravana's agents. And they have been regularly coming. As soon as he heard the name of Ravana, Dasharatha said, "I know about Ravana. I don't think anybody can win over Ravana. Neither me nor my sons can help you. Please kindly go back. Please don't demand me." So when Vishwamitra heard it, he became very angry. The whole earth started trembling. And All the creatures on earth, they were seeing the whole earth trembling. Huh? And Vasishtha saw this. And Vasishtha said something that pacified Dashrata, which is very important for us. Vasishtha said, "My dear great king, in your dynasty, Ikshvaku dynasty, no one has gone back in their promise. It will be a great blemish on your dynasty to go back. At the same time, remember, do you think Vishwamitra is an ordinary man? He's an ordinary sage? He has got boons from Lord Shiva. He has got celestial weapons with him. He can kill all the demons by himself. But why is he asking for Ram and Lakshman? Because he wants to glorify their prowess and wants to broadcast their glories for the whole world. That is why he has come to give an opportunity to expose your sons to the whole world, and you are so foolishly attached to them." He told them, "Never be afraid, your sons will come back very safe." So when Vasishtha gave this assurance, Ram became, Dasharatha became peaceful. Then he allowed Ram to go, Ram and Lakshman. Now again you see, when Ram and Lakshman went with Vishwamitra, they were very happy. Outside the palace, going in the forest, they were watching the lakes, they were watching the beautiful thick jungle in the forest. They were hearing the chirping birds and the ferocious animals in the forest. They're very happy. And Vishwamitra made them sit in one place in one evening. And he told them that before you both can kill those demons, I want to offer you some special astras, some special weapons. So he gave them special astras called as Bal and Adibal. And taught them those mantras, what to chant. And Ram and Lakshman very patiently learned. And then when they arrived at the hermitage of the rishis, then the yajna was starting. When it was going on, as we were telling you, Maricha and Dushana, they both came through the Akash Marg. They were coming. So Ram and Lakshman, they took their bow and arrow and created a very huge chakra, like a very big wheel above the Yajna Kunda, some 4-5 miles above. Such a huge wheel they created, nobody could penetrate it. So, when these two Rakshasas came, they saw from the sky down, they couldn't find the Yajna Kunda at all. And they were talking to each other. So, the Dushana was saying to Maricha, "Hey, 2 hours ago I wanted to pass water, and you told me to hold it. Because we were supposed to pass in some Yajna Kunda, you told me, where is that? Show me." He was asking. And that fellow said, "Yes, wait a minute, we'll find out. Come." And they were coming down. When they came down, so Dushana's leg got stuck in the between the arrows. And it was taking him, whirling him around. And it threw him very far away. And what happened to Maricha, Lord Ram just took a piece of grass. You see, Lord has used grass many times to kill people. There was a Dambodbhava who went to that Badrikashram. And in Badrikashram, Naranarayan Rishi were peacefully performing penance. And that area was a very sattvic atmosphere. One could hear the birds chirping and the water flowing in the waterfalls. But this Dambodbhava went there and said, "I want to have a combat. Nice combat, equal combat. I want to fight with you. I roamed all around the world. I couldn't get anyone. At last I heard your name. Now both of you come for a fight with me." And Lord Naranarayan Rishi said, "Why are you making such a noise in this wonderful celestial atmosphere?" They said, "You also sit with us and perform penance. Unnecessarily, why do you want to quarrel?" Dambodbhava said, "My hands are itching for a fight. I have to fight with you." So then Lord just took some grass and invested it with some potency and hurled it on this Dambodbhava. And the grass became like some streak of lightning. Started going like this. When an attack, Dambodbhava went all around the world, he was running. Of course, the grass did hit him and kill him. So sometimes the Lord just would use some clumps of grass. Lord Ram did the same thing. He just plucked some grass and he threw it on Maricha. And that small grass carried Maricha some 800 miles into the ocean and threw him. So when he came back, when Ram Lakshman, when they were doing all these mystical feats, Vishwamitra saw all these things. And then Vishwamitra asked, "Hey Ram Lakshman, what about the Bal and Adibal mantra which I taught you? You have not used it." Ram Lakshman, they smiled and said, "That we will reserve for the future. Right now this was good enough for these demons." At that time, there is a beautiful verse in Ramayana, which is spoken by Vishwamitra. He said, "For the mighty Lord, even a grass can be the most formidable weapon which he can use against his enemies." And then he sings a poetry where he says, "For the Lord, what is the limitation in this world for him? What can he not do? He can do anything." And all the other Bal and Adibal and all these kind of mantras and weapons are simply his subordinate servants. Like that he sings. So, when we hear these kind of wonderful pastimes, we come to hear about the Lord's inconceivable potencies even as a small boy or even as a small child. Yeah. And as Ram grew up, before Ram's marriage, something happened. You know, Dasharath had a daughter from Kaushalya, as I told you. And he didn't have sons at that time. And then later on he got sons. So during the time when Dasharath wanted to get married to Kaikeyi, because he didn't have son from Sumitra, Sumitra had no children at the time. And Kaushalya had one daughter, that's all. So he married a third queen who was Kaikeyi. But Kaikeyi's father, Kekaya, he asked a question to Dasharath. "What if your other queens get sons? If they may be, there may be sons from with your other queens and they may become the king. I will only give my daughter in marriage to someone who will make her son the king," he said. And Dasharath really wanted to marry Kaikeyi. So he gave a will. That will is called as Kanyashulk, it is called. Kanyashulk means it's a will of dowry. So that was known to only three people: Vasishta, Kekaya and Dasharath. And what is written there? Whoever will be the son born to Kaikeyi, he will be the person ascending the throne. He will be the king. And this form was signed by two people, Dasharath and Kekaya. And it was given to Kekaya Raja. And generally Shastra say the father is very attached to daughter, generally. Why the father is attached to daughter? Because the daughter is going to get married and she is going to go to another house, and the father always laments whether she will be given the same treatment in the other house, whether she will be protected. Son, he doesn't worry so much because son is going to remain with him. But daughters, generally a father, you will see in marriages, when a daughter gets married, you can look at the father's face. And they become very grief-stricken. So, K.K. Raja was also like that. When he was giving his daughter in marriage, he started weeping. He started feeling emotions. And then, unrestrictedly, uncontrollably, he went and whispered in her ears, "My dear daughter, do not worry. Your son will be the king next to Dasharatha. And we have made that pact." Like that, he revealed the secret to her. See, in this world, if you want to hold a secret, you tell one person and tell him. Of course, not hold secret. If you want to spread some news, tell someone that this is a secret, don't tell anyone. You can make sure that thousands of people will get the news. So he told his daughter, "I'm telling you, keep it with you, don't tell anyone. But your son will become the king." So now, Dasharatha, he was very much inclined to making Ram the king. Because Ram was the eldest one. In any family, if the eldest boy is very noble, is full of good qualities, he has the qualities of a chivalrous king, naturally the eldest boy would become the king. Sometimes in the Vedic literature we find, if the eldest son is not so fit for being the king, then they might consider someone else. But Lord Ram was an ocean of good qualities. And he was very famous amongst all Praja. And all rishis, munis, everyone loved him. And Dasharatha naturally wanted to make him the king. But this was in the back of his mind, that I have given a promise to K.K. Raja. Anyway, one day he called his ministers, he called the smaller kings, he called the rishis, munis, and he didn't call Kekaya and he didn't call Janaka. He thought that they will all cooperate, they won't mind. And then he asked all of them, do you all agree that Ram could be my heir apparent? And they all very gladly accepted. But then, Bharat was out of station. Shatrughna was also out of station at the time. They were not there. But Dasharatha made the decision. And he called for Ram and said, oh Ram, everyone loves you. And everyone likes to see you becoming the king. And I am an old man, I want to retire now. I want to coronate you as the next king. So, while Ram was attending to his father, his other friends came and overheard. Then they all ran to Mother Kaushalya to be the first one to give the news to her. They told her, Mother, Mother, do you know? Ram is going to be the next king. Tomorrow is going to be coronated. And she felt so much joy. She was giving charity. She gave her necklace and she gave cows and many things in charity to those Brahmanas who brought the news. So, here is a scene where we see somebody is taken to the limits of excitement and then they are taken to the limits of sorrow. And in either case, Lord Ram is the same person. Actually, we can see, generally speaking, in our lives, if somebody brings pleasure, we become very grateful to them. Somebody brings us pain, they become our enemy. But we find in Ram's case, he's always like an ocean. Ocean which is very grave and which is very deep. He has the same love and same respect for Kaikeyi and his father Dasharatha as he had at all times. His respect for them doesn't reduce even a bit, his behavior. Now Ram goes to tell his mother and he is looking for Sita. Where is Sita? Sita is in the puja room worshipping Lord Narayana with folded palms and closed eyes, meditating on the Lord for Ram's welfare. So he goes and tells Kaushalya. Kaushalya is telling, oh, my dear child Ram and my dear Sita, may you long live. May you rule this world wonderfully for millions of years. She is giving them blessings. And is telling Lakshman, is clasping the hands of Lakshman and telling, oh Lakshman, I cannot take up this post alone without your help. In fact, all these royal delights and all this wealth, they mean nothing to me as much as I love you. But if you can share this kingdom with me, we both can rule together. By your support, I will be able to rule. And Ram Lakshman are so dear to each other. And he was talking like this, all these things. But then subsequently, as you know, the news went to the ears of Mantra. Actually, Mantra saw all over Ayodhya, there are crowds of thousands of people passing in the street. It's like an ocean. And the camels and the camels and the horses and the elephants are moving like aquatics, moving. So she was saying, how is it that people of Ayodhya are so happy? She asked someone and she got the news that Ram is going to be coronated as the heir apparent the next day. And immediately she felt a surge of envy in her heart. She came to give the news to Kaikeyi. So this is a very elaborate pastime, which I will not go into the details. Because this pastime teaches another valuable lesson. How a very innocent and naive devotee can become afflicted by envy, by bad association. That we see when Mantra came to talk to Kaikeyi. You see, Kaikeyi, I have written Kambaramayanam in South India, that Kaikeyi loved Ram more than Bharat. And Kaushalya loved Bharat more than Ram. Like later on, Bharata will come back when Ram goes to forest, you know. When Bharat goes to offer obeisances to Kaushalya, Kaushalya tells him, Muppatta Mukkodi Ravaram Ramaram Umakku Oppavaro, she's telling. Even 33 crore Ramas will not equal to you, Bharat, she's telling. Bharat like that. So much she loved Bharat, Kaushalya. Very surprising, no? How they loved child of another co-queen. That kind of love was there. So when Mantra told Kaikeyi, oh Kaikeyi, you are sitting here very luxuriously, comfortably, not knowing what's going on in the world. Huh? I got the news that Ram is going to be coronated tomorrow. Huh? Wake up, don't be sleeping, don't be lazy. When Kaikeyi heard it, she was so happy. Oh, you brought such a good news for me. She took out a necklace and gifted it to her. Huh? And Mantara threw it far away. And she said, you foolish lady, disaster is awaiting you and you are offering me a gift? She asked her. And even after Mantara told her that your son is not going to become the king, Ram is going to become the king. Still Kaikeyi asked, what's the problem? If Ram becomes the king, I'll be very happy. In fact, my son Bharat loves Ram very much. But then Mantara employed a trick. She told her, if Ram becomes the king, Bharat will become his servant. And Kaushalya will become Dasharath's favorite queen. And you will no more be favorite. You have to become a servant maid of Kaushalya, she said. This immediately aroused envy in the heart of Kaikeyi. Because she started comparing herself with the co-queens. Yeah. So, when we are advancing in spiritual life, oftentimes the envy is directed towards those who are fellow devotees. The fellow devotees who are flourishing in spiritual life. So, Sanat Kumar Prabhu gave one very wonderful seminar on celebrating others' success. That was a very nice seminar. So, he was telling us in that seminar, if one of our equal friends in spiritual life, if they face some misfortune in their life, they had some money loss or they had some problem in their life or they had some slip in their life, we immediately feel sympathy for them. But if one of our fellow God brothers achieve success in their life, that we are unable to celebrate, he said. That is difficult for us to celebrate because of envy, the heart. So that kind of envy was aroused in Kaikeyi's heart by Mantara. She simply became foolish. Kaikeyi started telling Mantara, you are a hunchbacked woman. I generally heard that hunchbacked women are not very intelligent, but I think the whole science of diplomacy is stored in the back of your hunchback. And she said, when my son Bharat is made the king, she said, I will place very beautiful necklaces around your hunch and apply very nice sandalwood pulp. And when Ram is sent to forest, I will give you hundreds of hunchbacked women as your maidservants for you. And I will dress your body with costly silk. And she said, you are such a capable assistant to me. Thank you, thank you. She was very happy. You see, now, when all these things were happening, subsequently, Mantara systematically taught her how to go to the sulking chamber and how to not tie her hair and everything she taught her. You should never compromise with anything other than these two boons and everything. Now you go ahead to the further scene, what happens when Ram comes to know that he has to go to forest. He is undisturbed, even now. He doesn't lament, he doesn't cry that they were supposed to place me in the post and now they have not given me nothing. He is willing. And then his mother Kaushalya starts weeping. She tells her son, she is telling Kaikeyi, oh Kaikeyi, you see your son can become the king, but let Ram live here. Let Ram not go to forest. He won't be the king, but he will just assist your son. Please, don't be so merciless that you want to send my child to the forest. Kaikeyi said, nothing doing. He has to go to forest. Then Dasharath came. Dasharath said, my dear son, if you have to at all go to forest, I'll give you thousands of soldiers and many Akshavani Senas with you. I'll send you gold, silver, all the wealth of this Ayodhya I will send with you. And Kaikeyi saw that and became frightened. She said, if you send all the wealth away, what will happen to my son? He'll be king of nothing. So she said, you have to send Ram only with tree bark. Dress made up of tree bark. He cannot carry anything from here. And Dasharath became very, very annoyed. And Kaushalya said, my dear child, if at all you have to go to forest, you are not agreeing to stay back, you have to go to forest. You say that you have to follow the order of your father. Because Ram said, a son can never forego the order of the father. He has to follow. And then he said, even Jamadagni's order was followed by Parashuram. Like that, I have to follow the order of my father. Then she said, then I will come with you to forest. Then he told, my dear mother, a woman's duty is to always assist the husband. You have to stay back. And Dasharatha is like God for you. You have to stay at home and serve him. You cannot come with me. That is your dharma. You see, in Ramayana you will find all the aspects of dharma are very meticulously explained in Ramayana. What is the duty of each and every individual? When all this was happening, Sita arrived there. And Ram told her, my dear Sita, I have to go to forest on the order of my father. So you stay back and Bharat is going to be the king. You should implicitly be obedient to him. And every morning when you wake up, you offer obeisances to my father and mother. And this 14 years will go like one night. I'll come back very soon. When Sita heard it, she asked, what are you saying? You're saying that you will go to forest and I will stay behind? Your wife should always share the destiny of the husband. When the husband is sitting on an elevated seat as a king, wife also sits by the side. But if the husband is going to forest, then wife should also accompany him and share his destiny. My dear Ram, your happiness is my happiness. Your suffering is my suffering. You have to take me with you. You must take me with you, she said. And Ram again tried to persuade her. He told her, don't you know that in the forest you won't get soft bed to sleep? And there will be animals in the jungle like lions and tigers and elephants in the forest. And you won't get nice foods to eat there. You have to eat kandamool and roots and herbs and all this. You can't eat delicious foods like you eat here. So he told her that you with your soft body, with your tender body, you cannot tolerate the heat and cold of the forest. You kindly stay back, it's my request to you. And she said, when she heard it, you know, my dear Lord, I will be seeing the beautiful lakes and the beautiful hills and the beautiful forest. When a woman has her husband by her side, she feels the most secure and most safe. And when you are with me, it's like heaven for me. When you are without me, without you for me, all these royal delights are like hell for me. And then she said, and if you leave me behind, you will only find me dead. I will consume poison or I'll drown myself in the water or I'll enter into fire. You will not find me alive if you don't take me with you. And still when Ram persuaded, Sita's whole body started trembling. She now became angry out of love for him. She said, why did my father get me married to you? What kind of husband are you that you want to leave your wife behind and go to forest alone? She started weeping and crying and her eyes became reddish. And Lord Ram smiled and said, I really did not know your mind. That's why I wanted to test you. Now you can surely come with me. Don't worry. You see, Sita is internal potency. Internal potency, Srimati Radharani or Sita or Lakshmi, their bhav for the Lord is called as Mahabhav. The Mahabhav of Srimati Radharani singing, Srimati Radharani speaking to the bumblebee is decoded by all the acharyas and very elaborately analyzed and studied the mood of Srimati Radharani, her love for Krishna, when Uddhava had gone to Vrindavan. Similarly, you will find Sita speaking to Hanuman later on. How her remembrance of Ram, her attachment to Ram. In the same manner, here also we find the same thing. When Ram wanted to go to forest, she could not even think of the prospect of being separated from Ram for a moment. When Ravana comes, like Prabhuji was telling about Ravana, Sita is telling Ravana, Ram is like an ocean, you are like a muddy puddle. Lord Rama is like a great mountain Meru, you are like a small mound. Lord Ram is like Garuda, you are nothing but like a crow. She's telling. Lord Rama is like sandalwood paste and you are like mud. And she's telling Ravana many things. And Ravana is also hearing patiently all this. You'll hear when Ravana comes. You will find Sita's love for Ram is so intense. And from her feelings of separation from Ram. Right now Ram is right in front of her. But thinking of Ram's separation, she is weeping and crying and adamantly wanting to go with him. Now time is up. I'll just take a couple of more minutes and I'll conclude. you know, Lakshman arrived there, and Ram told Lakshman, Lakshman, now my mother is weeping. Please kindly you pacify her. And father is also feeling great pain. So kindly you take care of parents, stay at home. And Lakshman said, my dear brother, when you are going to forest, how can I stay back? I will walk ahead of both you and Sita. And I will walk in the forest way and make sure that there are no dangers on the way. And you both can have nice sightseeing in the forest. You will not have any fear, any problem. And when Mother Sita wants to cook, I will go and fetch some berries, fruits, roots in the forest, and I will come and bring it to her. And night when you both are sleeping, I will go round and round and offer you protection. For one moment I cannot be separated from you. I must come with you, he said. So, subsequently I was also reading the feelings of separation of Ayodhya Vasis. And Ayodhya Vasis actually, when Lord Ram is going into forest, Ayodhya Vasis also follow him. And Lord Ram is turning around and seeing many Vriddha Brahmanas, elderly Brahmanas are carrying a stick in their hand and trying to walk as fastly as they can, you know, following behind the chariot of Ram. Lord Ram tells Sumantra, the minister, how I can go in the chariot while Brahmanas are walking behind me? So he gets off the chariot and he also starts walking. But Lord Ram doesn't give up his determination to fulfill the order of his father. He doesn't even turn back, and the Brahmanas are coming behind him. And when the Sarayu river comes, on the bank of Sarayu, they are all resting for the evening, in the night. Next day morning, Lord Ram is seeing the sleeping beauty of all the devotees of Ayodhya. He is seeing all of them and telling Lakshman, hey Lakshman, just look at the innocent faces of these Ayodhya Vasis. How much they love me. They consider me to be the life itself. And I don't want to pain their hearts. But at the same time, I cannot avoid following the order of my father. And if I wait for these people to get up now, they are going to follow us wherever we go. So he called Sumantra and said, you drive the chariot in such a way that you take a route which will be a confusing route, and then leave us at a spot where we will enter into forest and the Ayodhyavasis cannot find us. And that's what Lord Ram did. And when they all got up, they were searching for Ram. Oh Lord Ram, where are you? You are like the, you know, like the moon of Ayodhya. Where are you? They started weeping. Our wives have sent us to bring you back to quarantine as the king of Ayodhya. And now you have disappeared from here. What answer we will give them? Our wives are going to scold us with harsh words when we go back. And you are like our mother and father. You are everything for us. And they all started weeping. You will read that Ayodhya Vasis' feelings of separation for Ram. And they all weeping, they all go back. And when they are entering the forest, Kaushalya is giving wonderful advice to Mother Sita. And she's telling Sita, please take care of my son, Ram. A good wife should always be at the side of the husband in all situations. Happiness and distress, when there is wealth and no wealth, at all times. And Sita is telling, my dear mother, I am like moonlight and Ram is like moon. And have you ever seen a chariot without wheels? Have you ever seen a moon without moonlight? So I am inseparable from Ram, she is telling. So, Ramayana is full of lessons for our practical life. In our life, how should we deal with our guru? How should we deal with our parents? How should we deal with brothers and sisters? And there are practical lessons even for devotees to learn what is wise behavior, prudent behavior, what is wrong behavior. Ramayana is full of lessons. So it's a very oceanic subject. I just touched one small section. I couldn't keep track of time. I'm sorry, I have exceeded my time. Thank you very much. Ramachandra Bhagavan ki, Shri Ramanavami Mahamahotsav ki, Shri La Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you very much.